Stage Dramas present played Robin Hood for 8 years. This week's front page drama, played Robin Hood for 8 years, is a dramatization of an unusual story of the same name to be found in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you each week as part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Executives of Paris's largest advertising agency would have watched their bookkeeper more carefully if he had ever come to work in a Robin Hood costume. But Jean-Baptiste Macaire was a middle-aged, shy, round-shouldered little man who, although he didn't look like a 20th century Robin Hood, was in reality raiding the cash box regularly to help needy friends. 8 years ago, his immediate superior, the head bookkeeper who had taught Jean, was taken ill, and Jean called on him one evening after work.
John, come in. Sit down by my bed. I got to see you. I understand you've been promoted.
Only temporarily, Monsieur René. Only until you get well enough to come back to your old post. And that won't be long now. Why, you look ever so much better tonight.
Thank you, John. I do feel better, though I'm still very weak.
Naturally, but you'll soon get your strength back.
I hope so. It's been a long siege, John. But tell me, how does it feel to be head bookkeeper?
Oh, I like it, of course, but I would rather be assistant to you, healthy and active, back at your desk.
You're a good student, a conscientious worker. I always knew you would be good, John.
I owe it all to you, Monsieur. And I feel very much indebted to you. I've been a little shy about asking this, but now I know you'll understand.
What is it, John?
Well, you have been ill a long time, and... Well, I know how it is when a man is ill like this. So if there is anything I can do to help you, I just say so.
No, that's awfully kind of you, John, and I appreciate your kind offer, but how do you feel I can call upon you?
Nonsense, Monsieur René. There is no one who has a better right to call upon me than you. If it were not for your help, training, and patience in teaching me, I would not be where I am today.
You are very loyal, Jean. The fact is, I do need money, quite a bit of money. But I will get it in a few days from my brother in Cherbourg.
But Monsieur René, if the need is urgent, why can't I have it? How much is it you need?
1,300 francs to pay the immediate bill so that we can continue to get food, medicine, and the very necessary thing. But like that, I think, is a little too much to ask of you.
1,300 francs. No, Monsieur René, I can get it for you.
What?
Naturally, I do not carry that much around, but tomorrow at lunchtime, I will bring it for you without fail.
Oh, thank you very much, John. It's so very good.
No.
I will repay it the moment I receive the money from my brother in Shepherd.
Don't worry about it, Monsieur René. I will be here at lunchtime with the money. Well, now I must be running along and let you get plenty of rest. Good night, Monsieur René. I'll see you tomorrow.
Poor big-hearted Jean didn't have the 1,300 francs. But seeing the loan was only a question of days when Monsieur René would get the money from his brother, Jean took the cash from the till. He didn't put in his IOU for fear that would attract attention. Anyway, he would put the money back in a few days. But a few days later, he received a call to hurry over to Monsieur René's house. When he arrived...
Oh, you have come too late, Monsieur.
Oh, but...
Too late. Oh, my poor René.
What?
My poor René.
Then Monsieur René is
sick. Oui, Monsieur. He took a turn for the worse this morning.
Oh,
there is something troubling him. As sick as he was, he kept calling for you.
Yes.
I told him I would send for you at once. That made him feel better. So I ran downstairs to send someone for you. And when I came back...
I am so sorry, Madame. He was my friend. All I have, I owe to him. Please let me help you in your hour of sorrow, please.
Thank you so much, Monsieur Jean.
I am rather afraid, Monsieur, that Madame will need your considerable assistance. Yeah, Monsieur René's long illness, so it's just more of a savings. And, well, there are a number of outstanding debts that...
We would, of course, have to wait.
Yes.
But, of course, there are the immediate expenses of the funeral. That must be met. Unfortunately, there is little or no insurance. And the policies are allowed to include the last one. So you see, monsieur, madame, she is in desperate.
Oh, oui, monsieur, she's very bad. And how much do you think it will require now to see madame through?
The smallest would be 1,000 francs.
1,000 francs? Yes. Very well, monsieur. I will get it for madame.
You hear that, madame? Your kind friend here will advance you 1,000 francs.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Monsieur Jean. You are so kind. Heaven in the spirit of my poor Rene will bless you.
Well, the additional 1,000 francs that he had to take from the cash till brought Jean's indebtedness up to 2,300 francs. Not having the money, he had only one alternative: conceal the theft or face disgrace. He carefully juggled the accounts in his books and marveled when the auditors failed to discover the discrepancy. At first, he half hoped they would, for his conscience bothered him. A year or so later, the daughter of one of his friends called on Jean with a hard luck story.
Monsieur, I came to you because my father and mother told me that they both knew you so well. You all grew up together, and through the years you remained fast friends.
Oh, yes, that is so. Your father and I were boyhood friends. And your mother and myself, we passed in our early teens.
That is why I came to you, too.
Yes, of course.
Mother and father have struggled very hard to give me a fairly good education and help me get a start in the world. I know it has been a great expense to them, and just now they are very poor. They don't look a little mess of living. That is why I can't go to them with my troubles.
I see. And just what is your trouble, Madame?
Monsieur, I was all ready to take a rather good position with a good firm, but I was taken ill.
Oh.
After a thorough examination, the doctor told me that I have to submit to an operation if I expect to be really well and able to work. But, monsieur, I have no money. That, plainly and bluntly, is my trouble.
And how much would the operation and the subsequent expense amount to, monsieur?
Almost 2,000 francs. However, I have this very good position to go to, and I shall be able to pay back the loan very quickly. And, monsieur, the only reason I came to you is because I heard you were a very successful businessman.
Oui, and being the only daughter of my oldest friend and former sweetheart, it wouldn't be right to turn you down.
Oh.
And with all the troubles your father and mother have, you don't want to worry them or cause them any additional unhappiness, huh?
That is ridiculous. And I know you are kind of generous and will help me. You really want
to. Oh, of course.
Oh, you don't know what it means to be all alone, ill and helpless in a great city, and then find one true friend you can help
you. Oh, mademoiselle, don't worry your pretty head any longer. You shall have the 2,000 francs tomorrow.
Oh, yes. Father and mother will rise. You are sweet and kind and generous, a truly noble man. But, monsieur, you have saved my life.
But hard luck still dogged the poor philanthropic Jean. He gave Madeline the money. He borrowed it from the firm. But complications set in. More money was needed. Jean supplied it. And then there was a long, slow period of convalescence. And poor Jean, not getting the money, had to juggle accounts and fix the books again. Then later on, he met an old friend, a fellow soldier whose family was in dire need. Jean and his friend had been pals in the World War, shared all the danger together. Yes, Jean helped with 3 loans, and once again he resorted to the cash box of his employer. There were a couple of other incidents later on, and finally the firm became suspicious. A special audit trapped him, and Jean was arrested. Inspector Moriat of the Paris police, who was making a thorough investigation, questioned him.
I'll confess, Inspector.
Come.
I have been taking my son's money for 8 years.
Totally 26,000 francs.
Very well. Now, what did you do with the money?
Lend it to friends who needed it.
Come.
You do not expect me to believe that. That's ridiculous.
Now then, who is the woman?
Huh?
The woman?
What woman?
The woman you sent the money on, of course. You bought the champagne occasion, of course. Hat, dress, jewelry.
Come now, confess.
No. There wasn't anyone like that. Who would bother with a plain little man like me?
No, so you won't confess it. Well, then here I have my officers carefully checking your past life, and we'll soon have all the evidence to confront you with.
Now, confess.
Then we'll see that mercy perhaps is mingled with justice when you're sentenced.
But I tell you, Inspector, there is no woman, nothing to confess.
Very well, be stubborn. But let me warn you, it will go hard with you.
Ah,
there he is. Now, Pierre, you have the evidence, yes?
Monsieur, I have the evidence. It is all true.
Now, perhaps you confess, Monsieur Jean Baptiste.
But I have confessed, Monsieur Inspector. I have told you the truth.
Oui, Monsieur Inspector. It is true. What you mean, it is true, you idiot? There is no woman, no champagne, no secret rendezvous. He did give the money to people in need. I have some of the people outside.
Wonderful. Who is an honest man? Huh? Oh, dear, what am I saying? Here,
bring those people in. Oui, monsieur, oui. Adieu. Voilà, monsieur.
You, monsieur. You know Jean-Baptiste Mathias?
Oui, monsieur.
Did you ever borrow money from him?
Oui, monsieur. Three times. A total of 1,900 francs. I've been meaning to return it.
It's better. He stole that money.
I had no idea he stole it, Inspector. We were old friends in the World War. I needed money to pay rent, buy my family food and clothes when I was out of work. So I went to my old friend who was doing well and becoming prosperous. I'll give him a check for the full amount plus interest.
Oh, good, good. And you, Mademoiselle.
Mm-hmm.
You look prosperous, too. Did you, too, borrow money from the prisoner and forget to return it?
Oh, I'm ever so sorry, but the whole affair just slipped my mind. I will pay you. Even double, too. Oh, but please don't let my fiancé know. We have been married next month.
And so it went on. One by one, poor Jean's fair-weather friends confessed they had borrowed money and just naturally forgot to return it. Some of them thought Jean, being prosperous enough to lend big sums, didn't need the money in a hurry. And the poor, shy, backward Jean was far too retiring to boldly demand repayment. However, the firm, on learning the truth, did not prosecute and give Jean his job back. As for Jean himself, he is a sadder but wiser man, and he isn't lending money nowadays. You have just heard the front page drama entitled Played Robin Hood for 8 Years, a dramatization of an article of the same name. You will find this and many other interesting articles in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly. Join the millions of Americans who each Sunday find the greatest enjoyment in the many fine articles and feature fiction by the world's best writers in every issue of the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you each Sunday with your Hearst Sunday newspaper.